Nina Turner, Cenk Uygur. Nina, good to see you. How you doing?
You too. Hanging in there, you know.
Thanksgiving okay?
Yes. Too many sweets. How was yours?
I don't know that there is a thing as too many sweets. You've seen me.
I was thinking that as soon as I said it, especially on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. All right, so we got a lot to cover today. You got the usual heroes, villains, what would Nina do? As always, I look forward to that. But we're gonna start with our story of the week, and that's about the union strike, the union effort in Bessemer, Alabama in regards to Amazon. So what's going on over there, Nina?
Well, the NLRB, has given authority for the Amazon workers to really get a do-over. And I'm really excited for them. As you know, Cenk, many progressives went down into Bessemer, Alabama to be supportive of those workers. So I am really, really excited for them in this effort. And this new election comes after the company engaged in illegal misconduct leading to a successful vote back in April. We know that the leaders of Amazon engaged in intimidation tactics, you name it. I actually went on to the Amazon property when I was there and saw the law enforcement. I mean, they had using police officers in some of the worst ways possible to try to have scare tactics against those workers. And a lot of those workers are, the majority of those workers are African-American, go figure. And Amazon moves into places like a Bessemer, Alabama to really hold those places, what I would consider, hold them hostage because they are the largest employer in a said area. And that makes some of the politicians, especially the local politicians, afraid to speak up and to speak out because of the job situation there. So this is a really big deal.
Yeah. So what was some of the stuff that you saw? You said how they use the cops. So how did they use them?
Using police officers on site, I think as an intimidation tactic. I did actually see the boxes on the outside covered under a tent that were not supposed to be there. And big ups to the retail and wholesale workers who were there to help organize Amazon. Big ups to the employees who actually work there, who alerted. They were the ones that really started the organizing efforts and were able to link up with the retail wholesale workers union led by Stuart Applebaum. They talked to a lot of those employees. They talked about how they were too afraid to go to the restroom, how they're under surveillance at work. You always feel as though, well, not just a feeling, they're being watched all the time. And not to a person, Cenk, not one of those people said, hey, I want this place to go out of business. What they wanted is to be paid a living wage and to be treated decently. In what world do you go to a job, especially in the 21st century, should not be acceptable. We know in what world this has happened and continues to happen, that you are too afraid to go to the restroom, too afraid to get a drink of water, too afraid to get sick. You know, and they also share stories about how they had to go to these trainings while the union was trying to organize. And it was really an intimidation tactic against the employees. And because the turnover is so high at an Amazon, it was really, really hard to try to organize the Amazon workers to take that vote. But I got to commend them. And we know that Senator Sanders was there as well. People like, I went at a different time from Senator Sanders, but you had the usual people who stand up and stand side by side. So from Senator Sanders to Congresswoman Cori Bush to myself, people like Michael Rinder, AKA Killer Mike, Dr. Cornel West, the one and only Danny Glover, and the list goes on. I'm leaving out some folks, but Cenk, I know you and the members will not be surprised of the type of people who actually showed up there to show solidarity with those workers.
Yeah, no, I get super frustrated that the Amazons of the world aren't unionized, and that, you know, that we struggle, the union struggle, everybody struggles to unionize Amazon, because I just don't understand how, if you minus the intimidation tactics, right, why in the world wouldn't you want a union at Amazon? Because there are reasons, right? Like, so if you're a smaller company or you're on the edge of sustainability, right? You can say, hey, that adds extra cost, that adds extra legal costs, etc., right? But if you're a $1 trillion company, and you're, and Nina, not only is their revenue publicly available, their profits are publicly available because they're a publicly traded company. So it's very easy to see what their margins are. So we know for a fact that their margins are gigantic and their profits are gigantic. Saying they don't have enough money for their own workers to be able to go to the bathroom is an obvious, preposterous, absurd lie. And so, so then there's, why wouldn't anybody unionize there unless they were worried that they were gonna get fired?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. Intimidation tactics, and again, the large turnover. They wanna keep the employees intimidated. They know that when labor comes in, it gives power, it gives collective power. That is what unions are about, is pulling the workers' power together so that they have collective power. And you know, we definitely have a quote that I want us to display for our members from Stuart Applebaum, who I had mentioned earlier, who's the president of the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union, and him celebrating the decision, stating that today's decision confirms what we were saying all along, that Amazon's intimidation and interference prevented workers from having a fair say in whether they wanted a union in their workplace. And as the regional director has indicated, that is both unacceptable and illegal. Amazon workers deserve to have a voice at work, which can only come from a union. And again, that quote is from Stuart Applebaum, and he is the president of the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union. And he is a fabulous leader, Jake. I've had the opportunity to be, we have been in each other's presence, and certainly it was, I counted all joy to have been able to work with him and so many others in their pursuit to try to help Amazon get unionized. But again, we cannot leave out the workers themselves, who actually drew attention to the inhumane conditions at Amazon and really had the courage to take a stand, because it's courageous. What they tried to do in April was nothing short of amazing.
Yeah, so here I'll give one example to the audience if they don't remember from the earlier story. So they were gonna put their ballots in the mailbox, and Amazon then created a mailbox right in front of the office. So you, like, it's indisputable, because that post box that did not exist before. They've got their corrupt officials in the government to put a post box right, you know, one of those places, the old school ones, you know, where you put the your mail in, right in front of the office, so they could track who was voting, right? It's super obvious. Why do you need it right in front of the office? You're putting it there to say to people, we're watching you, right? So it's a clear intimidation tactic. And so I'm glad the NLRB in this case ruled the way that they did. But honestly, there was a big loss there. It was not that close a vote. So I think that what's happening there, and you tell me, you were there, but my sense of it is, Nina, that they've gotten people so deathly afraid for their jobs that they vote against unions sometimes, because what these giant corporations will do is, oh, you voted for a union, that's it, we're shutting down your entire plant, and we're moving into a, you know, even deeper part of Alabama where we'll never get unions, and you'll never be able to go to the bathroom, etc.
That's exactly it. And this seems to be a tactic that Amazon uses across the country, where they will open up a facility in an area where the jobs are so desperately needed that people are afraid, both the workers themselves and also elected officials because of the tax base, to really stand up and fight back. This is another reason, Jink, why we need the PRO Act to pass post haste. It should have passed already, but it's still sitting up there, you know, just in the stratosphere, in that thing that we call a Congress. Makes no sense, because if that passes, that gives workers the power to be able to unionize. It also does away with what is called the right to work for less, Well, we call it right to work for less. Excuse me. Let me back up. Right to work states, which we call the right to work for less, because that title is misleading. It really is in states that are not, that do not honor unions, of which Alabama is one of those, right to work less.
So that brings up two other issues. Legitimate question. Were there any corporate Democrats down there in Bessemer, Alabama? Or because every person you listed is a progressive, every person I saw that went down there was a progressive Democrat. Obviously, there's no Republicans. Republicans want to crush workers and make sure they get as little wages as possible. But were there any corporate Democrats?
No corporate Democrats at all. And you know, Jim, you would think that local Republicans would get it. You know, I get what's going on the federal level, which I can't stand. But you would hope that local Republicans would get it, how important it is to have a very strong labor force and for people to be able to negotiate for wages and work conditions and benefits. But no, to my knowledge, definitely no corporate Democrats. And to my knowledge, I don't know if there were any local Republicans. So I'm gonna leave that door open just a little bit.
Okay, gotcha. So that puts progressives in an impossible position, because so-called moderate Democrats, what we call corporate Democrats, they will not pass a PRO Act if their life depended on it. There's no way in the world they're going to pass that PRO Act. Lots of empty talk. They won't even pass $15 minimum wage. They won't pass lowering drug prices. You think they're going to pass a PRO Act that's for the workers and that would raise the cost of every single corporate donor that they have? That, in my opinion, and maybe you're more hopeful, I don't know, but I'm positive that has a 0% chance of passing. And mind you, money in politics also favors unions, because unions can also give money to politicians, and they do, and they give a lot of money. But that then makes me question union leadership, because do they not know that it has no chance of passing? That the money that they give to non-progressive Democrats is flushed down the toilet? It seems like they have no idea of that. How could they not know? They never passed pro-union legislation. They didn't under Obama, they're not going to under Biden. So why do they keep giving money to the Democrats who are actively betraying them?
That is the million-dollar question, Jenkins. You really hit on something that the union leadership should organize against these corporatist Dems too. How about that? Like, just throw caution to the wind and say no more business as usual, unless we're going to organize against you all. Unless you pass the PRO Act, you get not another dime. You get no support from us. Now, you're the start of something tonight.
Yeah, I'll tell you, look, I'll go.
Send this. Yeah. I was just going to say, we need to send this conversation to every union leader in the country, because this is it. You just hit upon something.
No, I hear you, but we're not going to, and I'll tell you why. Or we could, but I don't know that it would do you any favors. But because of what I'm about to say, which is
okay.
You know, when it comes to small businesses, they're big tough guys. When it comes to big businesses and their corporate Democratic buddies, they're incredibly weak. So under Obama, they said we've got to have this legislation. Card check, right? And yes. Then Obama laughed and laughed and laughed, and so did all the Democrats in the Senate and the House. And remember, back then they had super majorities. And all those Democrats, all of them had taken union money, and they all betrayed the unions and never passed it. And now when Biden and the others say it, they're still gonna give them money. I guarantee you they don't pass it. And I guarantee you after it doesn't pass, they're still gonna give the same Democrats money. Well, why are you giving them money? At least the corporations make sense. They give Democrats money and they get return on investment. The Democrats do exactly what they tell them to do, right?
Yeah.
The union gets no return on investment. I mean, they're the suckers at the table. So why is union leadership so incredibly weak when it comes to the powerful?
Some of them. But you know what, Jake? Guess what? It's not too late. It's not too late. Just because that has been the reality in the past does not mean that has to be the reality moving forward. We got a new year coming up, and the labor union leadership can do a new thing. But you are absolutely correct. Why would they keep giving that kind of money to the Dems who do nothing to push for strong labor across the country? And that's exactly what the PRO Act would do. Man, Jake, I want them to do a new thing. How about that?
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome. That would be great. But look here, I don't speak for Nina.
Do they want to be invited? Do they want to be invited to the Christmas parties and stuff?
Yes. That's my sense. But okay, look, I'll address this to the union workers, okay? And I don't speak for Nina, and I don't speak for anybody else but me, okay? You guys should ask your leaders, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you giving our dues to these guys who never pass anything? Well, progressives were there for us in Bessemer. Almost every progressive showed up, and progressive leaders like Nina, Bernie Sanders, etc. And oftentimes in primaries, they'll give the money to the corporate Democrat against the progressive. Now, if they do that, you should be in open rebellion if you're in a union against your leadership. Because honestly, they're not serving your interests. I think you should organize the unions. But that's,
well, now you are speaking for, I agree with you wholeheartedly. You talk about fight the power and speak truth to power. That's exactly what we're talking about.
All right. God bless. Okay, so you know, every once in a while I forget that you're not within miles of a standard politician. Because most folks who ever ran for our office, and you were a state senator in Ohio, were like, oh, no, no, I'm no way, I don't want any piece of that action, right? Okay, but you're like, no, that's true.
I want a piece of that action.
All right, before we go to the next story, I'm going to read a couple of comments here. Lots of folks wrote in. Burning Bush Dragon said, Amazon does their best to have high turnover. It's not a bug, but a feature. So that gives people instability. That's a great point. And that makes them more nervous about their jobs and less likely to unionize. Chris Huggy wrote in, they also tell you when your numbers go down and what department. There's tons of pressure there. Now, if they paid high wages and they were treated you with decency, but then they layered on incentives, okay, that's one thing. But if they say, no, we're gonna take your money away and we're not gonna give you basic decency or decent wages, then it becomes brutal. Doormat 9 scratch mark said, for a short time right before Y2K, I worked in a Motorola chip fab. At least half of the training was anti-union propaganda. Okay, so we talked about the training earlier in the show that management gives sometimes, and that ain't training that helps your job, okay? Dirty Garden Dragon says the Postmaster General was getting rid of post boxes everywhere, and the only place they put one up is right in front of Amazon. That's such a great point, right?
It is.
I didn't even connect those two things. So, Dirty Garden Dragon, great job. That's right. The one place they found a new place to put a post office is right in front of Amazon. Well, what a coincidence how that turned out. And then these folks wrote in as soon as we started, and this happens every time. Science Train, that's my city behind Nina. Amy K. Blue, Nina, please run for office again. We need you in there to fight for us. And Melanie 44, in all caps, I nominate Nina Turner to run for the 2022 US Senate race. Hello, somebody.
Hello, somebody.
I don't know about the Senate race, but I love the enthusiasm. I love it.
I do too.
Yeah. All right, let's see the next.
You.
Yes. God bless all you guys.
Yeah.
All right, Hero of the Weeks. It might be someone you're familiar with. Who is it, Nina?
It might be the one and only Senator Bernard Sanders. And the senator is demanding that the WTO approve the vaccine patent waiver, which has been holding back the global supply of the life-saving shot. This is real. And the senator has been pushing for this for quite some time. We do have some other leaders in this country too fighting, but leaders all over the country fighting for this. And the industrialized nations of this world should absolutely be ashamed of themselves, because they are starving out along with allowing. I mean, they are absolutely allowing these pharmaceutical companies to do what they are doing. It is disgusting, James, because but by the grace of God, there go I. You know, so every person in this country should be outraged by this, because we could be the ones living in a country that needed the United States and other industrialized nations to stand up for us to get that vaccine.
Yeah, this could almost be a what would Nina do, because so Biden said, you know, what was it, about 9-10 months ago, I forget exactly how many months ago, okay, I'm gonna do the waiver so the drug companies then will have to give the drugs to the rest of the world, the coronavirus vaccine, right? Because the rest of the world is not like our right wingers, they're dying for the vaccine, unfortunately, literally. And since yeah. he said that, 4 million more people have died throughout the world from COVID. And did we actually do the waiver? No, we didn't. So Biden said it, but he obviously didn't mean it. And in this case, the European countries are worse than we are, which is unusual. One of the worst countries on this is a country that's usually wonderfully progressive, but it's Norway. And Norway and Germany have really backed up the drug companies. And partly because America and Europe have the vaccines. And so yeah. they want to protect their drug companies. And they, and by the way, the company that came up with the original Pfizer vaccine is based in Germany, right? So they got corruption over there too. And well, before we get to the what would we do part, and that relates to your hero, which is Bernie Sanders, but Nina, think about it this way, right? Those drug companies, who by the way, developed it with a lot of US government money, right?
Yes.
And US government scientists as well. So those drug companies say, well, we need those profits. We want those profits and we don't want to give it to people at lower prices. And they can't, like Namibia has one of the worst per capita rates in the world. You know why? They have a 1% vaccination rate because they don't have the vaccine. They just don't have it, right? And they won't, and the drug companies won't give it to them. So the drug companies have actually said, in essence, we would rather have 4 million people die than cut into our profits at all. So that's a really sobering fact. You know, we say like never forget, we say all those things. And then in the middle of the worst pandemic of our lives, we let 4 million people die for the profits of our drug companies. Now, those are facts, but no one ever says them. The media never says it. The politicians never say it. Bernie challenging the drug companies and leaders is like the first time. That's why he's here this week, right? So, like putting aside the politics for a second, doesn't it suck that we live in a world where people are that greedy that they would rather have 4 million people die?
It does, Jink. I mean, the callous indifference. And that's why I said, but by the grace of God, it could be our country that depends on other nations that are wealthier than ours to send us a life-saving vaccine. But oh no, the moneyed interests, they control not just this country, they absolutely control the world. And the pattern here, right, the United States and the European nations, I hope the members are picking up on this, reminds me of colonialism and imperialism, right? They're doing that with this drug. It is absolutely immoral what they are doing and what they are allowing to happen. And you know, Jim, John and I had a chance to talk about this on the damage report. And one of the stats he gave, and I don't remember it exactly, but it was something like about 34 million people in this country so far have gotten the booster. More people in this country have gotten the booster so far than people in 8 countries on the continent of Africa in terms of just even having the first dose of the vaccine. Think about that. I mean, that is some straight up BS. And our self-interest, you know, if you want to be selfish about this and morality doesn't move you, the fact that what impacts one directly, to quote the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in this case, show enough impacts all of us indirectly. Again, what impacts one directly or affects one directly affects us all indirectly. This is a truism in this case, Jay. With this pandemic.
Yeah.
So it's in our self-interest, right? It's in our human self-interest to want our brothers and sisters and family and friends across the globe to have the vaccine.
It's the most literal thing there is, because where did Omicron variant come from? Africa. Why? Because we didn't give them any vaccines. So it's been spreading and spreading and mutating as it went along. And all of a sudden now we got another variant that came out of that situation because we were selfish and we were greedy. And so remember, we use this example all the time. Fire department used to be private in America back in the day. And if you didn't pay for fire insurance, they would let your house burn down. But then you realize, oh, that's a really bad idea, because then the fire jumps to the next house. And even if it's insured, it's already burnt down, right? And the whole city burns down. And it happened several times. And so we went to public fire departments because of that. And here we're like, oh yeah, well, we're not giving you the vaccine because we want more money. Well, but then all of us burn down, because then variants pop up and then they come back at us. And that's what happened with Delta variant and now Omicron variant. So it's super frustrating. Yeah. But I want to just real quick do a tiny what would Nina do here. Because so Biden says, well, I said it. I've told the World Trade Organization they should do a waiver on the rule that we have so that the world could get this drug. But reporting is internally he hasn't pushed to other countries at all. And they haven't done anything. By the way, the World Trade Organization back in July was considering, should we or shouldn't we? Should we or shouldn't we? And they wanted to get it done before August 1st if they were going to do it, because they then went on a 6-week vacation.
Looking for a new career? Welcome to Due HVAC Training Service Center in North Charleston. Enroll today in our comprehensive HVAC training hands-on field experience-based program covering troubleshooting, maintenance, installation, and more on various HVAC systems and ductwork. We offer EPA and NAEP preparation and testing, along with various certifications. Enjoy payment options. Take advantage of their November specials. Achieve certification in under 5 months. Enroll now for your new journey of skill development and career advancement. Log on to DEWHVACTrainingSC.com to inquire.
So while the world died, they went on a 6-week vacation, but honestly, it didn't matter. They came back from the vacation and are still not giving it to the rest of the world. And so if you're Biden and Germany, Norway, etc., and other countries say, no, we love our drug companies more than we love the lives of millions of people across the world. Well, if you were president, what would you do to motivate them to actually follow what you theoretically want?
Well, the carrot and the stick, first of all. We got lots of carrots. I would call these world leaders together. We would come together in a room and basically nobody's leaving until we not only agree, but action is taken. The moment before we leave this meeting, I want to see action taken. Also, I would assign within the department, maybe the Department of Health and Human Services comes to mind, but assign somebody special to ensure that this happens. You know, once I have the meeting, you got to make sure bureaucracy moves slow. You got to have somebody on point on this, and that person will report directly to my chief of staff and through me to make sure that this happened. If these countries did not want to do that, then we gotta use the stick. But hopefully we could use the carrot at first.
Yeah, look,
but you can't just say it. You just gotta, who's not gonna, look, President of the United States of America, you get these world leaders together, you get the people who can make the decision. Jake, I mean, you talking about the people who can make the damn decision and forget these drug companies. Right, I mean, that's the bottom line. This is about humanity here. There's no moral sense of urgency here. There's no heart connection here, Jake. This is what this comes down to. This ain't rocket science. You get the leaders in the room. We are doing this or else, baby, we're going to fight this thing out. And then you take on the drug companies too.
Yeah.
If it comes to that. But I doubt that there will be many world leaders who have to come face to face with the President of the United States of America. You are asking them to do this. For the love of God, for the love of humanity, because that's what this comes down to. Do you love humanity more than you love these drug companies? I think the majority of them would say yes. And then you have to have an action plan before we leave the room.
Yeah, you know, you inspire me, because I think that's exactly right. So let me layer on top of it, right? So the reason you picked Bernie Sanders this week is because he's bringing attention to it. You make it public and it embarrasses people. And then all of a sudden we're all doing stories about it. And now Biden's facing more pressure, right? But in the examples that you gave, you say, look, world leaders, I'm either going to do a press conference with you guys and celebrate you as the heroes that brought the vaccines to the rest of the world and saved millions of lives, or I'm going to do the press conference without you guys. I'm going to put up your pictures, and then I'm going to put up a giant sign that says 4 million dead. And I'm going to say these are historic villains. Now, Nina, you think that maybe the leaders of other countries might be a little worried if the president of the United States calls them historic villains that got millions of people killed?
Come on, I'm loving it. James, I am loving it. Yes.
I mean,
it's just they would comply. Trust me, they would.
Look, Angela Merkel is complicated. She has upsides, she has downsides, okay? But in this case, she's completely wrong. And so if you're going to say that the leader of Germany has gotten millions of people killed, that will catch her attention in a gigantic way, okay?
Real quick.
Yeah, so do you want it or don't you want it? And to your point about the drug companies, another great point. You could say to the drug companies, hey, listen, you guys are subsidized by the United States government. You use our research all the time. You're either gonna give this vaccine to the rest of the world or we're gonna cut you off and you're not gonna get any more funding and you're not gonna get any more research from us, and good luck. Good luck trying to come up with the next one. We'll give it to other companies that are willing to do the right thing.
That's it. We hold all the marbles, or at least the majority of them, Jake. It makes no sense. So again, that's why I said this comes down to really, do you give a